Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. We will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat, or just because they're a Republican, and you voted that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there who are working for your benefit, and we are going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them. We're going to ask them questions. We're going to let you ask them questions. And we're going to be discussing education system, the military, science, music, sports, oh, and health care. Do you have it? Do you need it? Are your 26-year-olds still on the family health care plan? Or, as the regressive party says, Obamacare. We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word. And everything, from the cities, counties, state, nation, the entire world. So sit down and get a pencil, paper, and take this graduate education experience. And we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
Good afternoon. It's Friday, October 22nd, 2021, and this is The Last Word. I'm Michael Lawson, and we had a glitch there. My Skype went out on me right in the middle of our opening theme. Unbelievable. So we played our secondary theme, which is, and I didn't get a chance to talk about this last time, theme from Star Trek. This is the original theme, stuff from Star Trek. And the reason why I want to play that is because that Captain Kirk went into outer space for real 2 weeks ago. He went into outer space, 90 years old. And the man was just like, he took it just like he was up there before. Except one thing, he wasn't up there before. And he said, my God, it's awesome. It's awesome. That's what he said. In a few more words, he said, damn, that was awesome. When you look down at the earth, the colors, you cannot believe the colors of the earth and what was on the earth. There is no color like you have ever seen before looking at the planet spinning from outer space. And he was not that far away. I think they were only 65 miles up. That's about 300,000 feet, a little more than 300,000 feet. But he said it almost took his breath away. He said he loved it. It was unbelievable. And he hopes that he never, ever, ever forgets that sight in the time he has left on this planet. And he hopes that when he leaves this planet, he can still see that sight, because it was the most beautiful sight he has ever seen in his entire life. Captain James T. Kirk, William Shatner. That's what he said about this planet Earth. He said, you can't even imagine how gorgeous it is. He didn't have time to go into the destruction of this planet that we two-legged humanoids are doing to this planet and will continue to do to this planet till we get our heads out of our ass and do something about not destroying the place that we live and destroying everything else that lives on it. Where I live in North Carolina, I had my house built, and in an area where they had just carved a road in, and this one housing development that they named Silverwoods was going to start building homes. And I want to tell you, where I do live, there was so much deer running through. And I had a stream in my backyard that was about a little more than 2 feet deep and about 4 feet across. Fish in the stream. He Hugo came and changed all that around. Could practically kill the stream. No more fish down this end where I live. It was only like a foot deep now and about 3 feet across. And the deer were still here because they kept going through the stream. They kept going. That's where they're drinking water out of the stream. And we had deer coming through here, especially during March and April. We had deer eating the new grass that was growing on my front lawn. Every March, February, March, April, May. February, March, April. And you could count, you could see them every night. Look out the window and see them. And that's gone. Because there's now a road that goes so probably 2 miles down now. Homes built all over the area. And we now have areas that are they're building so many houses over here now. There was one area they built like seven, eight houses around about 1,800 yards away, 1,000 yards away, and they built 7, 8 homes. And they're not in the back of me. I'm still empty in the back of me, but close to me now. And we still see the deer, but not as many. Well, we're seeing more now because they just went by. Oh, my grandson told me that one just walked by just now. Two of them. So they come by more now because they don't have less of a place to hide now. So they don't have the places to hide during the day as much as they used to. We didn't see them during the day. We only really saw them at night. But now we see them during the day a lot, and we never used to see them like that. And that's because they're building a home. They're killing all the deer's playland and all where the deer's played and lived. And but, you know, they're building homes. That's what's happening there. But we're talking about the places, the pollution where these people just want to smoke out everything. And I'm now looking at my grandson's report card. He just came in. Oh, Jesus. Give me a break. What was all the A's you're supposed to get? They ran away. No, look at this. That ain't good. It needs to have that. Well, listen, language arts D. Forget that. He needs to have an A in language arts because that's easy. That's easy. Science, you got A. That's good. Math, you got B. Our class B. Why no information technology? What's that? Where is it? Mm-mm-mm. Well, this is the first quarter. All right, you got to make this D and A. Next quarter. No, B, A. Stop talking like you're from West Virginia. You might be able to get something up. Anyway, so that's our story. We're going to get into, but how about my Dodgers? How now about my Dodgers. They kicked butt last night. Wait, what's that? So the Moses dropped him off here because Daddy's picking him up. Anyway, so, she dropped him off here to show me his report card. He got one D. They're also all A's and B's except for that D in English. And I told him, hey, if you can't talk, what the hell good is it? Give me a break. Better learn how to communicate. So, as I get, how about my Dodgers? How about my Dodgers? That's what I want to say. How about my Dodgers? Now, listen, I don't want to start telling you any stories, anything out of sorts. But Chris Taylor came to the game yesterday to kick ass and take names. Yes, he did. He is the most glorified of all utility ball players and needs to be paid it because he is a free agent. If he ain't getting in the ball game, well, that's your hard luck because he needs to get paid like a man who's going and making hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm telling you right now. 3 home runs in game 5. Only 11 other people, 10 other people, he makes the 11th. Only 11 people total have ever done that, I should say, during the playoffs or World Series. That's right. I mean, sellout crowd of 51,363 people. But you know what pissed me off about that crowd? When he hit that third home run, he came back into the dugout. Only a few people around the dugout were applauding him. They all should have been standing and screaming their brains out. Because I damn well was, and I'm in North Carolina. I was screaming my daggone lungs out. That daggone wine-toasting fools out there in California. They couldn't give this man an outstanding ovation for 5 minutes at least. You don't see that every day. And you don't see it in an elimination game. This was an elimination. The Dodgers didn't win that game. They were out on their ass. They were out. Not all the big ball players. He wasn't there. Those big-time ball players getting the millions of dollars. They weren't there hitting those home runs. It was the all-star utility man who made the all-star team for the first time in his life and in their life. He went 4 for 5 with 3 home runs and 6 RBIs. The Dodgers stave off elimination with an 11-2 win over the Atlanta Braves. Instead of ending the Dodgers' year, the Dodgers forced the Atlanta Braves to a 6th game on Saturday with Magic Max Scherzer scheduled to start with an extra day of rest. You got to remember that they were also in the same position last year. There was a 3-1 deficit against the Braves last year. So this is the second consecutive year that they faced elimination. As Dave Roberts said, I guess that's when our backs are against the wall, we play our best and fight. And Taylor's, as I said, is a free agent. Will the Dodgers sign him? To a big-time contract? This is a man who, in the wild game, the Dodgers won 106 games this year. The most they've ever won. The Giants only won 107. They were one game behind the Giants, who won the division. So they had to play out a wild card game to even get here. Elimination, one game against St. Louis, who hadn't done shit all year. They had to play them. They had to play them in a wild card game. Again, their backs were against the wall in the wild card game. They were losing. And what happened? Just tell me, what happened? He clubbed in each, well, he came, he in the eighth, no, it was the ninth inning. I should say it was the eighth in the bottom of the eighth inning. He came up and hit a home run. No, I'm sorry. It was the ninth inning. He came up in the ninth inning. The bottom, oh, I should say the top was a tight. It was the top of the ninth inning. Because they were away. They were playing in St. Louis. Because even though they won 106 games and St. Louis only won about 89, I think, 85, they had to play in St. Louis on the St. Louis Cardinals home field. So it was the top of the ninth inning. That was their last at-bats. He came, 3-run home run, and won the game. And Kenley Jensen came in and struck out the side in the bottom of the ninth. And they won. So you, I'm trying to remember. Was it at St. Louis? No, St. Louis did not win. That must have been a Dodger Stadium. That's right. That was a Dodger Stadium. They were. It was the bottom of the ninth inning. He came up, and went, I should say, I said 3-run home. It was a 2-run home run. Came up and hit a 2-run home run in the bottom of the ninth inning and won the game. It was a walk-off home run. That means when you come up and you get the runs, the first one to score, just like football, overtime. But this is not overtime. This is their last time that they get a chance to bat in the bottom of the ninth inning. And he hit the home run, and that was the end of the story because he's a home team. I don't know why I got that so screwed up. But then on Thursday, he clubbed 3 home runs off 3 different pitches. Can you believe that? It was the same guy. It was 3 different pitches. And Atlanta had their number one pitcher playing for them, Max Fried. He hit a home run off Max Fried that put them ahead 3-2. Then he hit a two-run home run off Chris Martin, I believe that's the fifth inning. And two innings later, he swung himself into the red territory with a solo home run off Daylon Lee. To give the Dodgers a 5-run lead. Now, what are we going to say about this guy? I need to find out what his man meant, what his salary is, because we need to understand what his salary is. Whoops, my phone is going to die. I need to plug this phone in. Let's make sure. Let me get with my charger. If we can hold on just a minute here, I can get my play my charger to get my. I'm going to another room now, I believe. My charger is going to. Let me see what this is here. Let me play this for a minute, and I will be right back with you. Yes, we still love you tomorrow. And Mr. Taylor only makes $5 million. That's all he makes. Now, I think, especially if the Dodgers win the World Series again, he needs to get a big boost, 5 times that. Well, maybe not 5 times that. He's got to go up at least $10 million. It's got to be. At least 10 million. Because this man took them out of the fire, off the frying pan, and was ready for people to eat. Like a medium rare steak. You don't burn it. You don't have it cold, but you have it just right. I mean to tell you, Chris Taylor is so great. And I tell you right now, these Braves, they're looking at Matt Scherzer on Saturday. And Buell on Sunday. And that is not a good place to be. So I believe that the wheel has turned towards the Dodgers director now. Even though they are one game down to Atlanta, I think all the pressure is on Atlanta not to go belly up. So let me turn this TV down here. I think that's what's going to happen. I think the Dodgers will make sure that the Braves do go belly up. I think they will make sure that the Braves do go belly up. This is an outrageous place to be, but hey, what are you going to say when it's time for you to take the old slap on the cheek and just bury yourself? When these guys, when these Dodgers get through doing what they need to do for you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm telling you, when the Dodgers get through with Bear, and you got to remember, the Dodgers are doing this without Clayton Kershaw, without Justin Turner, without their other pitcher, Bauer, without John Kelly, who hurt his arm pitching in the first inning last night, without Max Muncy, I mean, what the hell else do you expect these guys to do? I mean, they're doing this without their big hitters. As Dave says, I simply wanted to get a chance to get back on the plane to go to Atlanta. And they punched that ticket. They punched that ticket in the best of seven series. And now it's an epic 3-2. And going across half the United States, it's going to be a happy flight. And as Robert said, I don't expect to get let down. I don't expect to get let down. And we just can't push everything on Chris Taylor's plate because that AJ Pollock, he showed some impressive stuff too. He had two home runs. The big man, Albert, he was on base three times last night. And did you see the bat drop AJ Pollock did when he hit his second home run? He dropped his bat right there on home plate. He hit it and just dropped it. The Dodgers went 11 for 22 in two strike counts. That's pushing. Pushing the brave pitchers to no end. But big boy Albert, he pushed the pitcher to no end. He was on base twice when Chris Taylor hit his three-run home runs. And what are you going to do when a man comes up there who the people were screaming, CT3, CT3, CT3. Chris Taylor and his number is number three. And by the way, he hit three home runs, Chris Taylor. He wears the number three. And the game took 3 hours and 33 minutes to play. I mean, you talk about throwing the threes around. You talk about throwing threes around. I mean, you guys that played ball and whatnot, you'll understand some of the stuff I'm talking about. But they were showing it today on MLB Central. And he showed the pitch by pitch that they were trying to get Taylor out. They threw him fastball inside, slow changeup away. I should say threw him changeup inside. He didn't swing. Fastball away, he swung and got it, fouled it away. So they said, oh, wait a minute, this man's on the fastball. He's waiting for the fastball. Wrong answer. Threw another changeup. And that's when the ball was deposited in the center field seats. I mean, that would have been a good pitch if you laid it high or laid it way inside, but it was over the inner half of the plate. Mookie Betts got hits. Finally, Trey Turner, he got three hits. They were stealing bases. They were running. They were fielding good. And you got to look at this. Mr. Bellinger was on base three times the last day. They stole a base. As a matter of fact, it wasn't funny for Trey Taylor because he got hit by the ball, but the pitcher was – the left-hand pitcher was the first pitcher, Max Fried, the number one pitcher. He was up there. He had walked or no, I think Bellinger got a hit off him. He was on first base. Maybe he walked. I can't remember. But anyway, trying to remember. I can't remember it. But he was getting ready to steal. And the pitcher saw him. And when he turned, he stopped and was going to get ready to run back to the base. The pitcher decided not to throw to first base and threw a home plate and hit the batter, Trey Turner. So, I mean, here's Cody Bellinger, who has 159 during the regular season, 159. The Dodgers were 26 in the majors this year in two-strike batting average and never had more than 9 such hits in any one game. This was unprecedented. I mean, to tell you, the two-strike hits that they made last night were just going out of style. Taylor homered in a two-strike count, third long ball. Bellinger had a two-strike count. Mookie Betts had a two-strike count. Trey Turner had a two-strike count. Pollock had a two-strike count. And Paul also had a 3-0 count. And that was the only one the Dodgers didn't. The only time they did hit the ball was that 3-0 count. They hit another ball on a 3-0 count. The bats were alive. And this was the, not the first, second, third, or fourth, but starting from the fifth down to the ninth, they were 17 for 26, I believe. It's well over 500. So I know it's a little tough for some of the people that don't understand what I'm talking about, but those that are listening, don't know about and know about baseball, you're gonna understand it. And they were stealing bases. Now, is this enough to make them go over the edge? Is this enough to make the Dodgers win the next two games? I mean, you know, they did it last year. The bottom half of the Dodgers hitters were 12 for 23. With 5 home runs and 10 RBIs and a walk. I said 17 for 26. Well, I was including, must have been including the fourth here. But that's damn good. And Turner, who batted third, I think he was 6 for 40. Before he got his third hit. So everybody is starting to hit. And nobody is stopping Kenley Jensen. Kenley Jensen, nobody is stopping him. And nobody also is stopping Mr. Gratterall. Nobody's stopping him. When he comes in, throwing the ball 102 miles an hour, 101 miles an hour, 103 miles an hour, in the same, to the same man, they say, I don't want to get near this man. And that's a problem they're going to have. Joe Kelly, I'm so miss Joe Kelly is so good, but he injured his bicep in the first inning. The first inning he's out now for the entire rest of the postseason. But the rest of the Dodgers pitches fell back in the shadow of things. They put zeros out every inning. Zero, zero, zero. And the postseason mark is 2.30 for October. So they're going to be trouble. They're going to be trouble if Mr. Scherzer, Mr. Max, will be all right on Saturday. Yeah, those Braves, Freddie Freeman after hitting the home run and having Duvall hitting the home run, they thought the Dodgers were going to close the book on them. Nope. Freeman stayed hot. Rosario stayed hot. But it wasn't hot enough. It wasn't hot enough. Rosario got three hits again. That's the third game that he's gotten three hits in a single game since the series. He's batting 571. But the other rest of them are Albies, 4-for-17. Jack Peterson, 3-for-12. Austin Riley went hitless in the last 14 at-bats over three games. So, Mr. Scherzer, what is he? You know, he has one blue eye and one brown eye, you know. So when you're looking down at him, he scares the hell out of you. And he can throw the ball at 97. And we got Mr. Walker Buehler waiting for game 8. We'll see what's exactly going to come up. We'll see what's going to come up. We will see what's going to come up. What is going to come up for the Dodgers? We shall see how the Dodgers take these guys out of the race. I want to remind everybody out there, I've been a Dodger fan since I could watch. We had a TV in my house since I was 2 years old, since 1947. That's right. Matter of fact, I was the only, I think it was only four people in my entire elementary school that had TVs growing up, and I was one of them. And the other three were teachers. I have seen it in baseball. I have seen what can be done. Oh, and just 20 minutes ago, David Price now is going to replace Joe Kelly, because you're allowed to replace somebody. Because when you see when the playoffs start, you got to name 25 players. And the only way some other player can get on there is if someone gets hurt. So they've named David Price, who's another person that's going to be named to the Hall of Fame. The Dodgers have left-handed. He's going to be the person the Dodgers are going to put on the roster. So, this is another chance to repeat history again. What do you think the deal is going to be? How many people out there are going to believe that the Dodgers will clean this mess up? How many people out there do you believe think that? As Robert said, I guess when our backs are against the wall, we play our best and fight. Well, I hate to say that, but it looks like that's true. I would not want, though, for this to be the only way they play the game. Because it gets tiresome. It gets hard when you're watching it, not when you're playing the game, because I played the game. And you do fight harder when you're tired. But when you're fighting harder, you can't fight that hard when you have nothing to do but just breathe and pray. And I'm telling you, though, those Dodgers, oh, my Dodgers. Well, okay. My Dodgers, I'll say a little prayer for them tonight. And I will make sure they get on the good foot. I'm going to... I know they're going to win. And they will be one of the groupies, one of the guns, that, you see, this is not like football or basketball where you can come back and win a second World Series. That don't happen in baseball. Very seldom. That does not happen in baseball. But what we're going to do now is we're going to go back to the what's happening in the we're going to go back to what's happening in the world of the twice impeached ex-president. That's what we're going to go back and do. And his boy, who they have just impeached, Mr. Steve Bannon, and how they are trying to say that Mr. Bannon, he didn't do anything wrong. Why would he do anything wrong? He's a good guy. Okay. Let's see what you think of Mr. Bannon. Here's a short little take on that.
We've talked a lot about the 9 Republicans who voted with the Democrats, but how about the 202 Republicans who voted against their own authorities?
Well, there's no mystery here. What we have seen is a great mass act of corruption in the sense of intellectual corruption, the corruption of ideas and belief and principle and surrendering it to the cynicism of power. That is what this is all of these people. And we know this because they all have statements, most of them, except the truly certifiable ones, at one time condemning Trump, this type of behavior. And now what they stand as part of is a movement, a party that has rejected democracy and is setting up a catastrophic crisis in this country. We are beyond now the realms of gravity of the last election. Everything we're talking about sets the stage to disqualify the legitimate results of the next election. As has been pointed out, should Trump run, and I think he will, but if not in someone else, at the hour of defeat, let's suppose, they will declare victory.
Right.
And an election beyond that, should they lose power from a position of holding it, certainly it seems that they will be unwilling to relinquish it. So everything that we're seeing played out to me now is prelude of a disaster to come. And the contours of that Republican Party, such as they are just well known. They're hardened into a type of granite contour at this point. There's no mystery left to any of it.
No, there's no mystery left. There's no mystery left. And that clown, what is her name? What's the that fool from? Where is she from? Where's the name? The clown, the one green. She is a clown. And there is a, I forgot, but Liz Cheney is getting very, very upset with some of these clowns. A prominent Washington lobbyist, this was in the New York Times the other day, a prominent Washington lobbyist close to Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, is warning Republican politicians, political consultants, that they must choose between working for Representative Liz Cheney or Mr. McCarthy. An ultimatum that marks the full rapture between the two House Republicans. I mean, can you believe this? This is a daggone Washington lobbyist. They're trying to get into the mix now because they see nothing is working. There's no nonsense coming out about Liz Cheney. She's very prominent. She is very prominent. She is not falling by the wayside. Only they are falling by the wayside. Only they are falling by the wayside. So they said, look, as Liz Cheney says, hey, you stop giving me ultimatums or I will drop you. Jeff Miller, who's a lobbyist for, he's a lobbyist for McCarthy, I believe. He said, the lobbyist and consultant of Mr. McCarthy, dating to their youthful days in California politics, has conveyed this us or her message to Republican strategists in recent weeks, prompting one fundraising firm to disassociate itself from Ms. Cheney. That's fine. No problem with that. But she's going out with Mick McCarthy. So who the hell cares what she thinks? There were 9 Republicans who voted against Bannon. 9 Republicans. And the 9 Republicans who voted against Bannon are now in peril of becoming political pariah. They've opened themselves up to political primary challenges and public attacks from their party's kingmaker, Mr. D.J.D. It's Donald J. Trump. Trump, remember, is the real name of the family. That's their real name. They wanted to make sure that they got out of the country of Germany during World War I and make sure that they were not ever found. But we know who they are. Anyway, if you think you only have one way to go, and that is to double down on these 9 political hacks. Not 9 political hacks. 9 politicians who said they would not be political hacks and vote against Donald J. Trump and his associate, Mr. Steve Bannon. You got a lot of things to remember. You got to remember who the hell you are. Just remember. And as Mr. Steve Schmidt said,
they unveiled a new tool today, Donald Trump announcing that he's creating a social media platform called, wait for it, Truth Social. Your reaction was instant and scathing. You said that Trump's truth is a hideous deception, a mirage cloaked in cynicism and malice.
Oh, that's the wrong one. That's the wrong one. I'm sorry. That's the wrong one. This is the one.
We've talked a lot about the 9 Republicans who voted with the Democrats, but how about the 202 Republicans who voted against their own authorities?
Well, there's no mystery here. What we have seen is a great mass act of corruption in the sense of intellectual corruption, the corruption of ideas and belief and principle and surrendering it to the cynicism of power. That is what this is all of these people. And we know this because they all have statements, most of them, except the truly certifiable ones, at one time condemning Trump, this type of behavior. And now what they stand as part of is a movement, a party that has rejected democracy and is setting up a catastrophic crisis in this country. We are beyond now the realms of gravity of the last election. Everything we're talking about sets the stage to disqualify the legitimate results of the next election. As has been pointed out, should Trump run, and I think he will, but if not in someone else, at the hour of defeat, let's suppose, they will declare victory.
Right.
And an election beyond that, should they lose power from a position of holding it, certainly it seems that they will be unwilling to relinquish it. So everything that we're seeing played out to me now is prelude of a disaster to come. And the contours of that Republican Party, such as they are just well known. They're hardened into a type of granite contour at this point. There's no mystery left to any of it.
Well, I see. I think I played that before, but this is what I really want you to hear here. Let's see if this
breaking
is
news we've been discussing all hour. The House of Representatives has voted to hold Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress. Nine Republicans joining all of the Democrats. Congressman Jim Hines says inherent contempt is not off the table. Joining our coverage, former Republican strategist Steve Schmidt. Steve Schmidt, my friend, what are your thoughts?
Well, this is an important power for Congress to exercise. We remain, at least for a little while longer in this country, a nation of laws. And Steve Bannon has shown contempt for the lawful authority of Congress as it seeks to uncover, as a matter of fact, what happened in the events leading up to the incitement of a murderous mob that led to an insurrection and desecration of the Capitol of the United States in a deliberate effort to stop the counting of the electoral votes, part of the ceremony and the process of the peaceful transition of power that has gone on uninterrupted since the beginning of the country. So Congress must show steel here. They must show resolve. They must show to all witnesses that they are not messing around. They will leave no stone unturned. And that Steve Bannon and the rest of the cretins around Trump are not above the law, are not immune from the law, and that in a government of the people, by the people, for the people, this was an act of violence against all of us, against our nation. And getting to the bottom of it is as important a duty as we've seen in our lifetimes.
Now, here's the thing. You're in the United States of America. United States of America. You're not in Europe. You're not in England. You're not in France. You're not in Germany. Nice places all. Not in Russia, where you have no rights at all, except when someone decides that you should have the right. You have they say in the Constitution you have inalienable rights. Inalienable. And this Constitution is supposed to support that for you. And if you do something wrong, you're held up in the court system by a jury of your peers. You're given that right. He's held up by he wants to be this Steve Bannon. He wants to be part of the government, but he never was part of the government. So how can he claim part of the government and I have every right that the government worker has? Even if that was a fact, he was part of the government. He was part of the government is the problem. The president is no longer part of the government. The former president is no longer part of the government. Therefore, he doesn't have any rights to not appear when the government calls you. He can't claim executive immunity. There is no executive immunity if you're not the executive. We only have one president at a time. And the president doesn't decide how these rights come to fruition. He only acts on them when he's president. When he's no longer president, he does not have the right to say what's security and what's not security. He does not have the right to say this is an executive security question and I don't want anybody to know. No, you don't have that right. The only one that has that right is the man who's now the president and you ain't him. When this clown, Steve Bannon, claims executive privilege, Who's the executive privilege from? His wife? He's not married. His kid? From his wife? I might even think that could be true. But he ain't married. Dog? Russia? Maybe Russia, because he's probably a communist. But, you know, they're not really communists either, the Russians. They're anarchists. They're anarchists and really people who want to have things their way all of the time so they can make money. They're really major capitalists. That's what they are. Now, they're trying to give this woman, Representative Nancy Mace or Nace from South Carolina, a major problem because she's one of the nine Republicans that voted for contempt of Steve Bannon. They want to shrink their party down more, these fool Republicans. I didn't want to say Republicans. GOP, let's put it that way. They're not even the GOP, but we need to call them something else. We can't call them Republicans, and I hate to say they're a Republican. They're not a Republican. These are anarchists and they're anarchists. That's the best name for now that I can call them. They don't care about how government runs. They want their government that they want to create. Steve Bannon said that was the reason why that Trump had to be elected. We need to get rid of the entire government system, get rid of it, burn it up, destroy it, bury it, and create our own government. We need to create the laws that we want. That's what he wanted. That was his whole idea. That's what he told Trump in the very beginning. And then he had a fight with Trump, and they dissolved their relationship. Now, look, he's right back again. Because you never – Trump can't get rid of but so many people because he only has so many people that are his close friends and associates. If he got rid of them all, he'd have nothing. He'd have nothing. Oh, and by the way, did you hear, I was getting ready to play, and I play it. This clown now wants to have his own media corporations. Oh, before I go, I want to tell you who these people are that voted against Donald J, if I have him on here, because we need to know who these people are here. Okay, let's see, where we are. Okay, here we are right here. Okay, the people who voted, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58,
here. But Minnesota, Peter Miller, Fred Upton. New York, John Katko, Nancy Mace, as I said before, South Carolina. Brian Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania. Anthony Gonzalez from Ohio. And Jamie Butler from Washington. They voted, had this man arrested ASAP. That's what he needed to do. He needed to have his ass arrested. Contempt of Congress. That's what it is. Contempt of Congress. They need to have done. They voted to break with their GOP partners and vote to hold Steve Bannon in contempt. Because he needs to be held in contempt. Because he's a son of a bitch who doesn't care anything about this government. And he, supposedly he's been in the military. Well, you know, just because you've been in the military, that don't mean you care about this government, you know. I mean, you know, just because you've been in the military, that don't mean you care about this government. There's plenty of those losers in the government now, just like there's plenty of losers on the police force who don't care about helping the people by helping police the criminals. And the Attorney General, see, it only took the committee of nine, which the Trump Republicans, that's what we'll call them, the Trump Republicans. The Trump Republicans had the right to be on, but said, no, we don't want to be there. And then, after they said they don't want to be there, they criticized it. I don't understand. When you do something against the government, shouldn't you be charged for it? Shouldn't you be held up and criticized for it? I don't understand that. How can you say you shouldn't be? The government's completely wrong. Yes, well, I had a gentleman on the phone a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to get back to him, and I don't have their number. I wish I could. Wish he'd call in. Said that the government is all wrong. This government is no good. Needs to be completely. Well, he's just like Steve Bannon. Well, why should, does the need of the many outweigh the need of the few? Or does the need of the few outweigh the need of the many? Well, I'm in the many. And I don't think a few people should dictate to the government how it needs to be run. If you want to do that, get and join a party and run. And then you, when you get in Congress, you can dictate how the laws are run. See, the Senate don't make the laws. The Congress makes the laws. So get in, run for Congress, and then you can help change how the country runs. But these few minor individuals who now control the counties in each state, because they're the ones that create this every 10-year itch that we have, where we have to try to change how things are if we don't like them in the state, because the state controls how we present our government to our federal body and how we present our government to the rest of the world, because they're looking at this. Because the state is the one that controls the laws in your state. They control your city laws, your county laws. They control how many people are on your board of elections. Isn't that the federal government? So if you don't vote, say, oh, I need a vote. Yeah, well, we'll get. No, you do need a vote, because you need to make sure that you have said something to prevent these morons who are in there now trying to prevent you, your laws are being passed. You're being run by the minority. There's not more than them than you. You think about it, because there's more than you, because you see how the laws are situated, that you can't vote. You know, we've had the right to vote, and now they're changing it? They want to change it? We have laws on the state, federal courts, of abortion and prayer in school. They want to change it. Bring back that we need to run everything by prayer in school. They want us to have a prayer in school and a prayer in the Congress every single day. But no, not your prayer, their prayer. That's why when the Congress, we have a deacon, a representative in, not a deacon, but a representative whose job in the Congress is to open it up with a prayer. But it's a non-secular prayer. It's not a Jewish prayer. It's not a Catholic prayer. It's not a Protestant. It's a prayer that everyone can accept because there are so many individual representatives, statewide, ethnic-wise, in this entire country, that we have to make sure that we all get along. And that's a problem that you don't have in China or Korea or Japan. You don't have that problem because they're all the same. In the United States, we have that problem because some people just don't like what you represent. And if they don't like what you represent, then they want you out. And that's not what this country is all about. Everybody gets a fair shake. Whether you worship in their church, whether you don't worship at all, you have the right to do it. Unless what you want to do is causing other people problems. You don't have the right to cause me a problem or my next door neighbor a problem or the man across the street a problem or the man in the next block a problem because you don't like something. If you don't like something, run for office and try to change it. But don't try to take people, all people, under your one ideal idea. Because everybody's not the same in this country. Now, we're talking about vaccinations? Well, hey, you have the right to die by your own hand by not getting a vaccination. But you don't have the right to kill me with you. And if you want to go to the same places I go to, you want to go to the baseball game, the football game, the concert, the church, the store, you don't have the right to get me infected and kill me. Or the right to kill my wife. My wife has a bad kidney. She only has one kidney. The other one was taken out. So if she gets an infection in her kidney because you did not get a vaccine to prevent you from giving to someone else and you didn't care where you went, you just give it to, hey, I'm all right. I'm big and strong. I'm not going to get sick. No, you may not ever get sick. But you know what? That don't mean you can't carry that virus. And you can carry that virus around and give to as many people as you want to, even though you may not think that you're giving it to other people. Because your brain is too small to think about anybody else but yourself. That's why when they say these people don't have the right to infect other people, you don't have the right to infect other people. And you can infect other people by not getting your vaccine. Well, there's millions of people who have died from the COVID vaccine. That's a lie. And you can't prove it. You can't prove it by saying, oh, I read it on the internet. Show the medical magazine that proves that. That's what we go by. We don't go by what's in the on the internet. We didn't have the internet 20 years ago. Can't go by that. You go by what is in the medical magazines, what is in the medical journals, what has happened when the people have gotten it. There's been billions and billions of people who have gotten the vaccine already, and there are not billions and billions of people who are dead or dying. Well, there's 200 million people, I was told. Bullshit! Where was that? Where would you, did you read it? Was this in the scientific magazine? Don't tell me it was on the internet. That's not proving anything. Because who says it's true because it's on the internet? I can put myself on the internet and say I'm a millionaire tomorrow. Would you believe it? Why? I said it. I put it on the internet. Billions of people. 2 billion, 3 billion people already that have gotten, 2 billion at least, that have gotten the vaccine. You're going to say there's 200,000 that died? I'd like to know where. Maybe it's not billions. Hey, when I say, did I say billions? I mean, I'm sorry. Hundreds of millions of people. Hundreds of millions of people. Gee, got me talking like these fools. No, not billions of people. This is about, I believe, 600 million people that have gotten worldwide, or 700 million people that have gotten the vaccine already. I haven't seen any place that said the people have died because of the coronavirus. Died directly because when they got the shot, they were, before they got the shot, they were fine. When they got the shot, they died. Nonsense. They got the shot and died is because they had an underlying condition that they never told anybody else about. And they didn't get die. They didn't die because of, they got the shot. Is because that they had an underlying condition to help push that. People that have died because of the coronavirus is because that they were sick from the beginning. They were sick from the beginning. They didn't die because I got my shot and it killed me. That's nonsense. Colin Powell didn't die because he got the shot. Colin Powell died because he had multiple myelomas. But people ran with that. So, oh, he died. He got the COVID shot. And he never got his booster. He had no discernible antibodies in his system because of the myelomas that he had. It was a waste of time him getting the vaccine. It was a waste of time. But you never can say that. But as we look at it now, yes, it was a waste of time. But he didn't die because he got the shot. Colin Powell just happened to have a bad myelomas. I think he had three different myelomas. That's cancers, if you don't know. So these people who are talking about it's killing you have no idea what they're talking about. These people have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea what they are speaking about. So I just wish that some of these people would just stop talking. Stop talking. And saying things that are so ludicrous. Stop running your mouth and saying things that are ludicrous. I mean, it's just impossible. It's just impossible to live with this bullshit. Every single day. More and more bullshit every single day. And you know, you can't... The more and more they talk about it, the more and more it's worse. It gets worse and worse. It gets worse and worse. I mean, I just can't imagine. I just can't imagine why. These people have nothing in their life that can help them do anything. Nothing in their life that will help change how they feel about different things. Nothing in their life. They have nothing to think about. They have nothing to say, you know, I just wish that I knew something and I wasn't It's just so unbelievable. I just can't believe. It's just unbelievable. What we go through because of people like that are on the internet, then people believe what they see and they don't have any proof of what they see or hear or understand. I mean, it's just not something that we need to talk about. Because it's not worth speaking about it. Well, let's see what we have now on the... Oh, this one other thing I wanted to bring to you. And this is what... You know Neil Katyal, former Solicitor General? He had a piece on about how the AG will decide Steve Bannon's contempt. Because how it goes from the committee. And when the committee passes out of the committee, yes. If it's passed, if they vote no in the committee, it doesn't get out of the committee. If it goes yes, then it gets out of the committee and it has to be passed by the entire Congress. Now, right now, there's more Democrats. So, therefore, whatever is passed out of the committee will be passed by the Democrats. But just because it comes out of the committee, it's then got to go to the Attorney General's office, and the Attorney General's got to decide whether or not he wants to press charges. And if he wants to press charges, and it goes directly to the Washington, D.C. Attorney, and they'll decide if these charges are, they'll investigate the charges and see if they're warranted to be pressed, and if he says yes, then they're going to find him in contempt. Well, this is what Neil Katyal, who's a very famous person, has decided. Listen.
Covering that breaking news in the House, as we've been discussing, voting earlier this hour to find Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress. Legally speaking, it's just a referral. The next step, in terms of whether or not he's held in criminal contempt and whether or not possible charges and whether he faces charges and prosecution will be up to the Department of Justice. Hours before the vote, Attorney General Merrick Garland told the House Judiciary Committee he'd handle Bannon by, quote, applying the facts. Watch.
The department recognizes the important oversight role that this committee, the House of Representatives, and the Senate play with respect to the executive branch. The House of Representatives votes for referral of a contempt charge. The Department of Justice will do what it always does in such circumstances, will apply the facts and the law and make a decision consistent with the principles of prosecution.
Joining our coverage, Neil Katyal, former acting U.S. Solicitor General, now a Georgetown law professor and an MSNBC contributor. Neil, take me inside that process in the Department of Justice. What will Attorney General Merrick Garland do when he applies the facts?
So I think what Garland's promised to do is to carefully review the facts, look at the law, and then make a decision. And it's true that criminal contempt is not something that's ordinarily prosecuted from members. You don't have congressional referrals. It's a very, very unusual thing, which is why the news today is such a big deal. But at the end of it, he's going to ask, is there a need for this evidence? Congress has said there's one, and I think he'd be deferential in any event to Congress's judgment, and then say, is there any possible valid, you know, absolutely valid defense that would prevent him from bringing a prosecution? And I think the answer to that, once he looks at that, is going to be no. So as we've discussed, Nicole, a couple of days ago, I think it is virtually inevitable that the Merrick Garland Justice Department will launch a prosecution of Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon is refusing to tell the truth under oath. That's what he's doing. That's why he's getting this criminal contempt charge. And he's not just doing it on some, you know, rinky-dink traffic cop violation or something like that. It's on one of the most, if not the most serious investigations in our lifetime, what happened on January 6th.
I know how informed you are, and so I really want to understand what you're saying. You don't have inside knowledge that DOJ will take the path you just described, but if they do what they what the Attorney General testified to today was that he would apply the facts and follow the law, and it's your analysis that if you apply the facts and follow the law, he will be criminally prosecuted?
Exactly. I think it's just too hard to do anything else. I mean, look, in the last administration, when you had some joker attorney general, you know, maybe, but even there, I think it would have been hard. But here, I just find it virtually impossible that given the what Bannon is doing, his intransigence in simply refusing to tell the truth under oath, coupled with the seriousness of what this evidence is and the seriousness of the investigation, it's just incredibly hard to do anything else. Just putting myself in that chair, it doesn't matter whether you're, it doesn't matter what your disposition is politically. This is a matter about truth and justice and what happened. And the idea that some citizen can just stonewall and say no to Congress, I mean, if that becomes the rule, then we're living in a banana republic. And so I just don't see anything else for Merrick Garland to do. I'm not sure. I in fact, pretty much think he probably doesn't relish being in this position. I'm sure he'd much rather Bannon would go and tell the truth under oath. But when someone doesn't do that, there has to be consequences.
So when someone doesn't do that, there has to be consequences. You know that? When something doesn't do that, there has to be consequences. So this is what we now see. We now see, look, this man, what he did was, he said, hey, I don't have to answer. Who are you people? I'm Steve Bannon. I don't need to do this. I have the president on my side. No, you don't have the president on your side because the person that you have on your side ain't president. He ain't president. That's right. He ain't president. And you ain't president. And you're nothing but a piece of garbage. You are just garbage. So, we have people out there whose sole idea is to say, hey, I'm in charge and you ain't nothing. That's what their thing is. I'm in charge and you ain't nada. That's what they believe. That's what they believe. I'm in charge and you ain't nothing. And this is how it will be. And you know what? Hey, you know, there is a there's a bunch of people. There's a bunch of people that believe that the SHIT don't think. That's right. Several people that are like that. There are several people like that. And the thing is that if you don't think that you can, if you don't find this fool guilty, everybody in the country is going to do the same damn thing. Why should, what's the difference between honoring a federal contempt, citation, a conviction, a referral, than not doing what a city or a state says, we want to hold you in contempt. We want you to come here and answer questions. You say, no, I don't have to. Well, what gives you that right? If the city wants to question you, they can make you come and sit down and answer questions. Don't say you don't have to do it because you don't have to do it. This makes no sense. But this is what this man wants us to understand and to do. This is what this man wants us to do. Because he's the boss. I mean, can you believe that? Because he's the boss? I mean, it's so outlandish. I don't know if you ever heard of the John Eastman. He's the clown that gave this former orange man in the White House the idea that he could do what the hell he pleaded, what he wanted to do. He's the one that gave him the idea that he could do whatever he wanted. So, and he's saying, no, I never gave the president that idea. Well, he was the president at the time. Yes, he did give him the idea. He's the one that gave him the idea. He didn't have to do this. He's the one that gave him the idea. Let me just listen to this for a minute. We've got a few minutes left.
Anybody who doubts the risk that we face need only look at the Eastman memo. Trump lawyer John Eastman literally put in writing a blueprint for stealing a presidential election. And once Trump gains control of state election boards, don't kid yourself into thinking that he won't try it again. Now the conservative think tank that employs Eastman, the Claremont Institute, is, no surprise, trying to whitewash his role in the attempted coup. We'll get to that tonight, too. For better or for worse, this country has long had a two-party system, which, although sometimes messy, has managed to honor the will of the voters. The problem now is one party has decided they don't have to do that anymore. In his latest column, Michael Gerson, former speechwriter to George W. Bush, plainly said what should be evident to every American who cares about their future. Trump has strengthened his identification with the seditious forces he unleashed on January 6th. He has embraced ever more absurd and malicious conspiracy theories. He has shown even less stability, humanity, responsibility, and restraint, and his support among Republicans has grown. Gerson warns that it is increasingly evident that the nightmare prospect of American politics, unified Republican control of the federal government in the hands of a reelected, empowered Donald Trump in 2025, is also the likely outcome. As the only party left that actually supports democracy, it's incumbent that Democrats prevent that outcome. Because Republican victories in 2022 and 2024 could literally mean the end of free elections. And yet for Democrats, the challenges of winning and retaining office is twofold. They'll have to overcome the built-in disadvantages at the ballot box that are baked into the system to advantage rural voters, the apportionment of electoral votes, gerrymandered districts, and voter suppression, to name just a few. That's why a number of rational pro-democracy Republicans have recently spoken out in support of electing Democrats. As conservative author Max Boot writes, "I'm a single-issue voter. My issue is the fate of democracy in the United States." He says, simply put, "I have no faith that we will remain a democracy if Republicans win power. Thus, although I'm not a Democrat, I will continue to vote exclusively for Democrats until the GOP ceases to pose an existential threat to our freedom." Max Booth, Washington Post columnist and senior fellow for National Security Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations, joins me now, along with Maya Wiley, MSNBC legal analyst and former New York City mayoral candidate. And Max, you know, it is this weird thing where you and I started out on very opposite sides of the world in terms of our beliefs about things like the Iraq War, and we are now on the same side. I have lots of critiques of Democrats myself, but, you know, walk us through your how you got to the point where you're saying, just vote exclusively for Democrats, because I know in Virginia right now, there's a Republican trying to put himself forward. When I look at him, I just see another guy who's going to get pressured to go along and also do whatever it is that Trump wants in 2024 and throw out votes. So are you where I am?
Absolutely, Joy. I mean, I think this is a time when everybody who is a small D Democrat has to unite in support of the big D Democratic Party. And I mean, kind of the premise of my column was, you know, we're hearing so much about the debates in Washington about the Build Back Better bill. You know, should it be $3.5 trillion? Should it be $2 trillion? Whatever. Honestly, I'm agnostic. I'm not sure what the size of it ought to be. But what I do know for sure is that we should not get so wrapped up in that we lose sight of the larger stakes here. And I'm hearing people say, oh, you know, if Joe Biden can't get this big bill through Congress, then the Democrats are going to be in big trouble next year. And that may be true, but it shouldn't be true, because anybody out there who cares about the fate of our democracy has to realize that there is no way you can support Republicans under the present circumstances, because this is a party, a lot of which already went along with the coup attempt in January of this year. And since then, all the Republicans who didn't go along with the coup, they're all being purged. You know, being part of the big lie is now becoming a litmus test for the Republican Party. Even though we see new revelations almost every day about Donald Trump's attempt to overthrow our democracy, more than 60% of Republicans still support him. And the only Republican office holders who don't support him are in danger of losing re-election. They've, you know, Liz Cheney's already lost her leadership position in the House. So there is no way I can look at the Republican Party as currently constituted and have any confidence that if they win power in 2022, in 2024, that American democracy will survive. And that's why I'm saying we have to vote for big D Democrats until the threat to our democracy passes.
Well, can you believe that? This is Max Boot, a complete staunch conservative. We can't vote for a GOP member until this passes. We gotta vote Democrat. And every Democrat ain't worth nothing either. But the majority are. The majority are worth something. None of the Republicans, even the nine that voted against for contempt for Bannon, are still hanging in there with Donald J. Trump. You got to get out of here. You can't do this no more. People, we got to get out of here. It's been great being with you guys. And I hope that next week I won't be with you because I have an appointment with my grandson's principal and the city council member, Mr. Matt Newton, who will be announcing something next week also. So everybody, I want you all to have a great, great weekend. Barbecue this weekend. The church is giving it out. Well, not giving it out. It costs money, but we're going to get some tomorrow. Everybody have a great weekend. And remember what Ethel says. This is DJ G's favorite song.
About it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you open and there you are. Next day on your dressing room the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers don't come. There. Word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. And how about that, your grandma has parted, you're brokenhearted, but you go on. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low, even with a turkey that you know.